Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Yesterday, Goldman Sachs put out a paper which said that the vast majority of Trump's new tariffs were being paid by US importers, with only a fraction being paid by exporters into the US. It also predicted that inflation was set to rise notably this autumn in the US thanks to these tariffs, especially since much higher tariffs are now in force since last week. But the issue is still not settled, with Trump threatening new higher tariffs on the pharma sector and really high rates on the likes of India and Brazil. And overnight, as we've been hearing, Trump has extended once again the implementation date for tariffs on China. So what is the mood music over here? Ali Renison is a partner with SEC Newgate and also a board member of the Institute of Directors. Good morning, Ali. How significant was last week and the implementation of a new worldwide tariff regime?
Well, if you listen to the likes of Donald Trump's trade chief, Jamieson Greer, who's been, you know, heading up all these negotiations, there's a new sort of world order in town, and Trump is sort of driving it. Now, interestingly, I think that, you know, we haven't seen all the final kind of the final shape, a lot of these kind of tariff regimes ultimately, because I think a lot of them are subject to kind of ongoing negotiations. And you know, the orders last week from the White House make that clear, that these are the new tariff regimes, but further negotiations may change that. But I think all in all, you know, he's certainly changed the landscape for how and what we use tariffs for. But I don't think we're in a landing zone, actually. And that's the irony of Trump's new world order, is that it's going to be a constant battle of negotiations.
The real problem is, of course, that can trading partners actually rely on his word, because he changes his mind a lot. And of course, his nickname is the Taco King.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the big concerns in terms of that is not so much will Trump abide by sort of the deals that he's struck himself. I think that he's a lot more febrile in terms of the ability, the willingness to use tariffs in terms of as an instrument of foreign policy. So, you know, last week he was effectively saying, well, we're going to put secondary tariff sanctions on India. That's to justify why we're putting it up potentially to 50%. Should negotiations not be able to bring that down, because that they're importing, you know, oil from Russia. And so I think that, you know, and we've also heard him sort of use sort of the threat of tariffs around other sort of foreign policy issues around the world he doesn't like. And so I think that if you're a country who is trying to just keep your head above the parapet in terms of negotiating with Trump in terms of trade, once you add foreign policy to the mix, and we know, for example, that there are some concerns and letters that were written by members of Congress about, you know, where Ireland may end up on sort of its relationship with Israel. You know, all that stuff gets into the mix. It becomes very, very complicated in terms of any kind of real continuity and stability.
Yeah. And now he's extending the tariff pause for China for another 90 days. It's as if he's almost afraid to implement the tariffs on China.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, interestingly, the only escalation we have really seen between the U.S. and another trading partner, you know, to some extent, yes, with Canada, but it sort of didn't get anywhere near as sort of high as it did with China. You know, in terms of the relationship, in terms of the tariffs that were layered upon layered and retaliatory tariffs that sort of just escalated between Beijing and Washington, I think, you know, the world and Trump and the U.S. got a bit of a taste of how bad that could be for kind of the global economy, and so they backed down quite quickly. But it's interesting also that I think that, you know, that there are people in Washington who really want to do, you know, really be tough with China. I think Trump, ironically, is much more willing to do a deal with China if he can get what he wants.
Did the EU get the best possible terms, i.e. 15% tariffs across the board, or should it have flexed some of its trade muscles?
Well, you know, my perspective is I don't want to do any kind of escalation any more than is necessary, frankly. You know, and I think there were a lot of both importers and exporters that didn't want to see that retaliation come from the EU. Now, there is an argument to say, you know, did they capitulate earlier than they should have? Well, you know, the devil will be in the detail in terms of where the proof is in the pudding, because we haven't seen all of the negotiations. We haven't seen where we're going to land on agriculture. You know, we're supposedly there's going to be some kind of carve out on pharmaceuticals and things like semiconductors. But actually, you know, I think if you compare it to the UK, fine. Actually, there's a 10% baseline, whereas the EU got 15%. But interestingly, I think that the EU was very clever and that it managed to get what we call a sort of stacking arrangement, or rather the tariffs between what we already had before on tariffs going in from the EU to the US, plus things like steel and autos. All these things don't actually stack together. They do in the UK's case. So, you know, there's a bit of give and take there.
You've got lots of friends and connections in Europe. There are a lot of of rumblings in Brussels that suggest that member states don't like the deal signed with America. It's not even a deal, really, a framework. And we don't even have anything in writing from the Americans yet.
No, I think ironically, it's still the case that the only jointly signed and published arrangement is provisional though it may be, is between the UK and the United States. Everything else is just kind of, you know, this is what the new tariff regime is. And we, you know, it was interesting to sort of actually see a bit of he said, she said between Ursula von der Leyen and the White House about what both sides had agreed to. So if you're a business trying to actually plan against that, difficult is an understatement.
Yeah, and especially the $600 billion that Donald Trump thinks is just simply a check that'll be made out to him.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, I think that, you know, some of this is a bit of flattery. I think we're back in some respects of kind of into the era of when we had Jan called Juncker, who was sort of saying, well, that he was also going to do this sort of big commitment on buying things like liquefied natural gas in the US. Ultimately, Brussels is not Beijing. Brussels cannot actually make these purchases, so is relying on sort of business to kind of play up to sort of Trump's ego to say they're going to be doing all this investment. Some of it may be planned already. Some of it may be new, but it's certainly not a surefire thing. And I think the irony of this is that it shows that when we're talking about trade, it's no longer just government to government. Trump, in terms of wanting success, you know, is trying to bring in actually business into these negotiations directly.
Thanks, Ali. That's Ali Redison from SEC Newgate and a director of the IO.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.